Guskov, he's the one who founded Fort Russ. And I want to say, too, again, the everyday people apparently loved him. They wrote, the people that could or could tell their story to travelers wrote about him and who he was. And he was just an all-around good guy. He wasn't, you know, like hidden in an office. He got out and about. Like I said, he did the census records. And he was appreciated for his talents and his personal relationship with people. The Kashaya, when we went to Russia, we went to his gravesite. And it is a tomb. It's like a big deal to Totma. That's where he was born and that's where he's buried. And they have two museums dedicated to him. So for the Kashaya to come, they did this whole parade for them. And the Kashaya cried at his gravesite. And I'm saying it because it's very ironic. I mean, for a native people to cry about their European people that came and influenced them and changed them, to cry for about who he was and what he did is just amazing. So Guskov actually landed in Bodega Bay, and Bodega Bay, the native people there are Coast Miwok, so everyday life for them is the coastline, oysters gathering from the ocean, the sea, whatever the sea could provide, mostly. Of course, hunting as well, but they are very sea-going, sea people, although not sea-going. And they had stories when the ship sailed in that it looked like it was coming from under the sea, and that's what they called the Russian people. And they kind of honored them in a way for that. They were a little fearful of who they were, so powerful to come up rising out of the ocean. And it looks like that when the ships come near the coastline and to the fort or to Bodega Bay. And the Native Alaskans would actually row alongside those ships. They would sometimes be in the ship, but sometimes outside of the ship. And it's talked about how they would row for hundreds of miles along the side if the waters were calm. And the Native Alaskans were, again, the most populated. So the Coast Miwok, what time is it, by the way? I've got to pace myself a little too far. Really? Well, you have service, right?
We're always late.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Okay, I'm going to move faster. The Coast Miwok, the Tikhonov is a famous artist in Russia today for his ethnographic work that he did. And you can see he did a front view and he did a side view. And that's very, very important to ethnographic studies. And so he did, this boy was named Balthazar, which would have been a Christian name. And I don't think Tikhonov named him, but he must have approached Tikhonov and said, paint me, I'm Balthazar. The Kashaya woman, we don't know her name. The coast, Southern Pomo, but she's right, Bodega Bay, and then you have the Russian River, and they're on both sides of the river, the Southern Pomo. Another drawing by Tikhonov. And this is the Russian house in Bodega Bay. So I want to talk about everyday life, too, for the Russians, of course. And they did have houses. They did build. And we know that there was a neighborhood at Fort Ross, but we don't know what that looked like. But when we have this image of a house at Bodega, we have to kind of guess that maybe it was the same look at Fort Ross. And that's pretty comfy of a home. So Fort Ross, you know, it's a small settlement, really. And it's actually a floor plan of Ostrogs throughout Russia. So if you were to look up Ostrog, the name, the word, it's a fort or krepost. Krepost. Did I say that right? Krepost. In Russia, and it's the same floor plan. So it's no different. It's just that it's built of redwood. And different people would draw from different views. And this is one that's a favorite from a French traveler coming through in 1828. And, you know, that's the backside of the fort and the gardens. You see the chapel is white. And we believe a lot of the buildings were actually white. not the way they look right now, but no one is going to give the order to paint, because if it wasn't, oh, that would be bad. And today, you know, we have this look. It's a beautiful, really beautiful setting. Well, outside the gate is the Alaskan neighborhood. And in an effort of time, the Native Alaskans, being the most prominent people at Colony Ross, were very colorful people. And again, that's what I really want you to go away with, is what they looked like and what they wore, what they did. And they hunted. They hunted in rough seas and calm seas. They were told, you're going to go down to Baja, be on the ship in the 2 days and at Bodega. And they would take 80 hunters down to Baja or down to Catalina Islands. Island of the Blue Dolphin is the story that surrounds that. And we know that they intermarried with the Kashaya. They brought their wives at times with them. But it was an active life, and they actually hunted whale. But the sea otter is, it will maybe have time afterwards. Oh my gosh, I don't have enough time.
When you say they sometimes brought their wives with them, where?
To Fort Ross.
Oh.
So Native Alaskans. So what the women are wearing are kamlaikas, and that's actually fish gut, cleaned, of course, and sewn together. And it's also seal gut. And the guts is very tough material. And they would sew it together to make a waterproof coat, if you will. And then also feathers. And then the bentwood visor, that's the first baseball cap that ever existed. And very colorful. And I want you to see, it's 3D. Do you see these little adornments here? It's very personal. And that is an original one that's in the museum in Alaska. But there, it's a very personal feel. And most of the kayaks would be beached at Sandy Cove. So when you see Sandy Cove like this, next time you see it, picture it with all the kayaks lined up. You know, 40, 50 kayaks on that beach. And they had a boathouse, someone always repairing them and taking care of them. This is another Tikhonov, Native Alaskan, and this would be the same look at Fort Ross as it is in Alaska. It's a woman from Prince William Sound, so some of the Native Alaskan women, their everyday look. We look at adornment today, and people who body pierce and tattoo, they have nothing on the Native Alaskans. And they were very pierced, and very adorned, a lot of tattoos on their face, which actually would tell you about that woman and what tribe she's from and if she's single or not. And that way you know, approachable, not approachable. And that's
just the women who body pierce, or the men?
No,
too?
The men too, definitely. And there's your man with dreads, by the way. And the tattooing and just a lot of adornment. So remember how I said we thought people, how they walked around and they were just not very colorful? Well, so, and this is from Unalaska, which is the Unangan people. And you can see the bentwood visor hat and the adornment. And again, he's wearing a kamlaika that made of seal gut. We have Alaskans that come down for our Cultural Heritage Day, and we have people that pretend to be Native Alaskans that come with their kayaks. There's a big kayak society in San Francisco that with kayaks made a traditional way, and they bring them. So that's what the beach should look like. So the house at Fort Ross, that's from Alexander Rochef, our last manager, and I just want to say it is the only original building at Fort Ross, but also it's the oldest structure west of the Mississippi, and it is a National Historic Landmark, and we're glad we have it. And again, just some of the views at the Ross Colony. This is the front neighborhood. This is where the Native Alaskans would have lived. We've done a lot of archaeology there to look at and determine how these people lived and what tools they used and what they ate. And what I was not surprised is they ate gophers, a lot of gophers.
Yeah.
And if you live it, you know, right? And they pop up, it's like, good, I'm done. So I'm moving through these a little fast. There were also three ranches associated with the Ross Colony that people mostly forget. And those ranches were quite active. They weren't very productive, and that was a problem for the company. So they're putting a lot of money into this, but not a lot of profits from the grain growing, well, because of gophers. And also, you don't grow grain on the coast because it doesn't work. And then also, the Russians said, I'm not a farmer. You chose the wrong guy. And they just couldn't get a good labor force in for farming. We do have a lot of firsts from travelers that came through Fort Ross, and I think that everyday life, when a ship came through, I think it must have been really thrilling and exciting to know who was on the ship, what are they doing, what do they have. And by the way, one of the ships, the O'Kane, was the first one to bring in a vaccination into California. The native population was dying fast, Native Alaskans and Californians from smallpox. And they got the vaccination from the ship that came in and then vaccinated them. And our state wildflower is the poppy, and it was named from a ship at port at Fort Ross. Shimizu and Schultzia, Johannes Schultz, a German fellow, traveling with him on a Russian-American company ship. And that's where we get our state wildflower from, that naming, and those academics. And we had all kinds of people. I mean, this guy, he later became a participant of the uprisal of the Decembrists. And so all kinds of people were traveling at that time, just like they do now. You have to keep a watch, right? Who are these people? And of course, St. Innocente, Ion Veneminov, one of the most really beloved people, I think, at the fort. He did a lot of the prayer services, death rites, marriages, burials, and kept busy for only 3 months at Fort Ross. And he is an amazing person. I think I'm sure you know of him, but really think about him and who he was. And I think that's why the Native people, even in Alaska and here, feel so fond of this time, is that the church was very protective of their rights. And he was one of those people. The cemetery, it tells us a lot about daily life. We learned more about the people at Fort Ross and from the burials than we did from the documents, because you learn about their adornment and their goods that they have that they would be buried with. And we did that cemetery work about 14 years ago, maybe longer. The crosses that are there are actual placeholders of where those grave sites are. And last year in the church service, we dedicated those three panels that now talk more about that particular history.
What was that called?
That was a placeholder for the cemetery back in the early or late 1800s and 1895. And it was just like, this is where the cemetery is. No one knew more about it. And I just wanted to share that beautiful picture with you. And this is, again, Ilya. I'll just pass through. That's a Creole. Duhat Sili, we shared that. Vosnesensky, once again, that's his drawing and his showing of Fort Ross. And we have everyday life people today that come and portray certain people, and they do a really fantastic job. She does a great job, the little girl. And so if you've never been to our events, and it did sell to Sutter, not Vallejo. That's a picture of Vallejo. And it was sold to Sutter with the surrounding, the 24 planked dwellings outside with glazed windows, a floor, a ceiling, each had a garden. So there was a big neighborhood outside the fort compound. There were 8 sheds, 8 bathhouses, and 10 kitchens. So, and Sutter was the lucky guy that never fully paid for it. And that's it. That's my favorite ride.
Thank you.